Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning and really be here this week. And I thank the Lord for the traveling mercies He gave us this weekend. It's nothing like getting ready to go out of country, which it's not really something we do all the time. You can imagine. And then you wake up that morning with all this anticipation, all this expectation of traveling and things like that. And you wake up and then the news reads international upset in airlines all over the world. And you're like, well, that's just wonderful timing. But we kind of stayed up with that and looked at all those different, you know, headlines and things like that in the airlines. And praise the Lord, nothing was going around with Iceland Air. And fortunately, that's who we were going through. And so we thank the Lord for that. And so I'll take a couple of minutes. I'm going to preach here in just a little bit. But Aaron, of course, Aaron said he wanted me to introduce myself and tell me a little bit about myself. And then he did all of that. I'll tell it from my side, I guess. We did kind of come up together at Elmira Baptist Church. And we thank the Lord for that. I remember the first time that I sat down with Aaron and Leslie and talked with him. I was just 16 years old, and they weren't a whole lot older than, what are you guys? 38. So, well, you got 5 years older than we are. So they were probably about 21, and I'd already been married for like 3 years by that point in time. And I remember 16 years old, you look at somebody that had gotten married at 18. I'm like, do you remember the conversation?
Yeah, you said, there's no way I'd get married.
I said, there's no way I would get married at 18. You guys are crazy. And anyway, so I was 16. 2 years later, Tanya and I are getting married. and they were sure to bring up that conversation at my wedding and said, hey, you guys remember? You remember a couple of years ago and when you guys first got here and you said that you would never get married at 18. I said, yeah. So I remember that. But we praise the Lord for that. He said, I was called to preach at the age of 18. It was right before we got married, actually. We were at youth camp, and the Lord was dealing on my heart to preach, and the Lord called me into the ministry just a few years after that to be full-time, and it was about the same time that the Lord just worked in Aaron's life as well, called him to preach, and so like he said, we kind of came up preaching together under Brother Jeremy Raby, and we thank the Lord for that time, and then it was about the same time again the Lord had called us both into full-time ministry. And the Lord led me down to Crown College to study there, and the Lord led him to come here to Ireland. And so it's been wonderful the last few years kind of keeping up with the Jenkins family and what the Lord is doing here in Ireland. We praise the Lord for it. Praise the Lord for this group of folks here that just decided to come together and just worship the Lord and come together for the cause of wanting to unify around the Word of God and see what God's Word has to say. Look, there's nothing greater than God's Word. There's nothing. God's Word is our fixed point of reference. We don't have any else outside of God's Word to go to. We don't have man's Word. Man's Word changes. If you want to keep up with science, that's fine. I like science, but it's constantly changing. So we can't have that as our fixed point of reference. We can't do laws for sure. Laws are a good thing. I try to obey laws the best as I can. But you know something about them? Laws are changing. But God's Word doesn't change. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that even though we're in West Virginia, I can preach God's Word and it affect people. And Aaron's preaching in Ireland and he's preaching God's Word and it can affect people. God's Word is good for every person, every man, every boy, every girl, every woman. It's good for all ages. It's good for all social status. It's good for everybody. And we praise the Lord for it. And so I hope I can be a help to you this morning. And I just want to encourage you, want to strengthen your faith, not in me and not in preaching, but just strengthen your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's able to do with us. So I'd like for you this morning to take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Tanya, did I leave that bottle of water back there?
I'm already starting to go dry.
Something I'm getting used to is these bottles of water with a lid.
That doesn't come off.
that doesn't come off. We had a fight yesterday. I won. I got the lid off. But Leslie saw me struggling with it. She's like, oh, those don't come off. And that was about the time that I finally got it loose. And but I've since then learned that that keeps track for you. Because there's been a lot of time where I've drank from a bottle of water and then look around. And I can't find the lid anywhere. And so at least I don't have to worry about it with that one. Mark chapter 4. And we're going to begin in verse 35. Mark chapter 4. Verse 35. Bible says, in the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they sent him even as he was in the ship. Now let's remember what is going on here. This is talking about they are the disciples. The multitude is the group of people that the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to. And it says, when they, the disciples, took him even as he was in the ship. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's keep in mind who's in this boat right now. It's the disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and there were also with him other little ships. Now, I want us to keep that in mind as we move on. Verse 37, it says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Now, that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they, talking about the disciples, it says, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. There was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, let's pray as we get into this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to have the Word of God, be able to sit here and read it, open it, learn from it. We're thankful also for the Holy Spirit. Lord, without the Holy Spirit, we could understand none of these things. Lord, we know that even now the Holy Spirit is in our hearts, guiding us into these truths. Lord, I pray that you would show us that we can depend upon you during storms in our life. Lord, that we can trust you with the storms in our life. Lord, increase our faith this morning as we move forward. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so we're coming into this story understanding that everything in the Bible is for us. The Bible says in, I believe, 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, all things pertaining to life and godliness. This is what God gave us. All things pertaining to life and godliness. In other words, this is a book for all things pertaining to life. Everything in life we can take and connect it to the Word of God, and God's Word has something in there for us. It might be a commandment, it might be a principle, or it might just be an example, but everything in here is for us. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Every time you come to the Bible, you ought to look at it and say, what is in it for me? What is God saying to me? There's a lot of audiences in Scripture. There are two main audiences in Scripture, and that is who God is directly speaking to, or who the writer is directly speaking to. And so we keep that in mind. So when we read Timothy, we know that it is Paul speaking to Timothy. And so that is one audience. And so we read it, keeping in mind that this is an older man in the ministry talking to a younger man in the ministry. But also it is us. And we know that it's not just Paul talking to Timothy, but it's God speaking to us. Mark was, most people have a consensus that Mark was speaking to the Roman mindset. And so we can read it as Mark speaking to the Romans, but it's also God speaking to us. And when we look and we read a story like this and we read this account that happened, we say, God, what is in this for me? Why did you want me to know this? If we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, we have to come to this and say, God, why do you have this in here for me? The Lord allowed this to be written and allowed this to be penned so that it could come through the last 2,000 years of world history so that you can read it. Why? To strengthen our faith in Him. The Bible is God's revelation to man. It is the only way that God is revealing Himself. God reveals Himself through creation. And so we know that God, there is a creator God. But creation tells us nothing of God's love. We know of God's intelligence. We know of His artistic ability because of all the, I mean, just look around and you can see all the differences in the world and the differences in people, and we can see how God has such an incredible imagination beyond expanse. And we know those things about God, but we know nothing of His judgment against sin. And so that's why He brought us and gave us the Word of God, to tell us more about Him. And when we read this story, we learn some things about our Lord that can help us. And so I want us to look at some things here. And we see the disciples. And it says, in the same day when even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over into the other side. And the Bible says in another portion of Scripture, in Matthew chapter 8, it's the same account of this. It talks about how the disciples launched forth. In other words, they just got on their journey and just launched forth out into the sea. And what a wonderful time that was. I'm sure an exciting time for the disciples. Now think about it. They were with the Lord Jesus Christ. They had seen Him do all of these miracles. They had seen Him preach to the multitudes of people. And they sent away the multitudes. And they had gotten in this ship. And boy, it was just them and Jesus. And what a wonderful, sweet time I'm sure that was. And they were out on the water. And I know there's some water around here. I don't know what kind of a, was that a lake or a river that we passed by coming out of Dublin? I know there's a pretty big body of water over to our left. And, you know, you have boats and stuff like that. And it's, I like being all on the water. I like being in boats and going swimming out on a lake and things like that. And that's a lot of fun. And I'm sure the disciples, as being fishermen and growing up there by the sea, this was just another enjoyment for them, just to be out on the sea. And really, think about this. These were the disciples. Most of these men were fishermen. Now, in other words, most of these people found their stride on the water. This is how they made their living. They were fishermen. They were out on the water all the times. Being on a boat was second nature to them. And they were getting to kind of showcase, I think, their abilities and their seamanship before the Lord Jesus Christ. Because think about us. You know, when we have certain ability or a certain talent that God gave us, and we have that opportunity with people that we know to showcase that. You know, you may be a great carpenter and opportunity come to go build something for another person. And that's where you're comfortable at. You're not comfortable in a lot of scenarios, but well, you get a hammer, you get a drill, you get, you know, some screws in your hand, you get a saw in your hand. Well, you're just in your element because you know what you're doing. And you just go at it. And that's what the disciples, they were in their element. And they were with Jesus. And they had this time to say, look, what we're doing, we're comfortable here. Jesus, you go to sleep, we've got this. And where do you find them? Real fast, you find them scattered around, not knowing what to do. Because the Lord Jesus Christ brought them to a place where they were comfortable, just so He can bring them to a place where they became uncomfortable. Well, doesn't that happen oftentimes in life? We think that we've just hit our stride and we're just getting this life thing down. You know, you become an adult, you know, you get out of high school and you become an adult and you're getting in a job and you get, you know, you're going to your 9-to-5, and then all of a sudden a relationship happens, and then you get a relationship and you're like, well, this is new. I have to think about somebody else's feelings and what else somebody else wants to eat. And then maybe you get in that relationship and you become married, and then you just get used to being married. You just get used to there's another person that you're living with, and then what happens? You get kids. Now we find the storms in life. You get kids, and what a whirlwind they bring. In other words, there's another stage that you become uncomfortable, and you have, it's a learning curve every time. And the Lord, I think the Lord has designed our life this way so that we never get too comfortable in life. So that we're always and continually having to trust him for something. That's why God's word is so great. I remember reading God's word as a teenager and being like, boy, that helped me as a teenager. And then becoming an adult, reading the same Bible and saying, well, this helped me again. This is like a whole new book because I've got all new levels I'm facing now. And then becoming married and becoming a husband and a father and becoming a preacher and a pastor. At every level I find that I'm becoming uncomfortable with something and finding myself in a place where I have to trust God all over again. He never allows me. It's funny. The Lord never allows me to get comfortable. Because when we get comfortable, we forget that we should be depending upon the Lord. The disciples here were in a comfortable place because they were on a boat. And God said, no, I'm going to make you uncomfortable for a little bit just so that you can, just so that you see you need me. You need me. The Bible says in verse 37, there arose a great storm. What an awful time in the disciples' life this was. A time when they thought, they literally thought that they were going to die. They came to him and said, Master, care us now not that we perish. In other words, we're going to die. Don't you know that we are on the brink of death? We are at our wits' end. We don't know what else to do. We've done everything we know to do. And they knew what to do. They knew to lighten the ship. They knew to row hard and bring it to shore. They knew everything to do, but they come to the point where they didn't know what to do now. And so they'd just given up. God at that moment said, you are right where I need you. You're right at the place where I can work. God does that so much with us, and it's so frustrating sometimes to get to the place where we don't know what to do because we think, especially, I'm not going to speak for the ladies in here, but especially for men, we want to know that we can handle things. We want to know that we can get it done. We want to know that everything's all right. We have a plan and we know how to execute that plan and we know how to take care of our home. But then God puts us in a place where we have to surrender our manhood essentially and say, God, I need to trust you. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know the next step to take. I need you. And that's when God allows us to go through the storm. That's when the Lord allows us. That's when the Lord allows our boats to get rocked a little bit. That's when God allows us to get our ship hit with some water, hit with those waves, beat around a little bit. Notice something about this is that they were never outside of the Lord's providence in any of this. They were never outside of God's providence in this. And let me tell you something. You're never outside of God's providence in your storm. Because let me tell you, you're going to go through storms. There's not a lot of things that you can know for sure in life, but there's this one thing you can know for sure. You're going to go through a storm in your life. And by storms, I think y'all know what I mean. By storms, I mean you're going to go through a financial storm at some point in time in your life. Usually once every 10 years is the statistics. 8 to 10 years, there's some kind of financial disaster that happens, whether you have a car accident or air conditioner goes out or a heater goes out or something big happens, a tree falls on your roof or wind blows, something like that. About every 8 to 10 years, it's going to happen. Sorry, but it's just there. You're going to have a health crisis sometime. It's a storm. Life is not void of storms. You're going to go through some type of storm in your life. Now, we have a couple of things that we need to remember. There's a couple of different responses that you're going to have to the storms that happen in your life. You can do like the disciples, which began ranting when their storm came. They began running around. They began basically losing their minds, saying, we don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn. We don't know where to go. We're going to die. Or you can do like the Lord Jesus Christ did. See, the disciples ranted during their storm. You know what Christ did during the storm? What's it say? He rested. He rested. And those are your two options when those storms of life hit. Are you going to rest during your storm, or are you going to run around ranting about your storm? I just want to share with you just a few things this morning on why we can rest during the storm. Number one, if you're taking notes, number one, we can rest in our storm. We can rest in His promise. We can rest in His promise. Notice what the disciples say, or what the Lord Jesus Christ says to them in verse 35. The Bible says, and they same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, let us, what does it say? Pass over unto the other side. If they would have just remembered that, they would have never ran it during their storm. You know why? Because Jesus said, we're going to the other side. Not we're going halfway through and I'm going to let you drown. Not we're going halfway through and your boat's going to break up in pieces and we're going to lose everything. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Even in the midst of your storm, remember this, Jesus has promised you're going to make it through. Even though the sky gets dark, even though the rain keeps pouring in, even though the water seems to be going over the top of the ship, even though the waves keep beating into your ship and it seems like your ship's going to break, it seems like you're not going to make it, remember this, God says you're going to make it through. The Bible says, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. You're going to make it through. You're going to get to the other side. Rest in His promise. Rest in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has given you promises. Look, this Bible is full of promises. Full of promises. We've got so much. Look, as a Christian, I've got so much I can count on the Lord for. So much I can count on the Lord for. I love His promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise that I can rest in. God's presence will always be with me. That's the second point here. Number two, we can not only rest in His promise, we can rest in His presence. We can rest in His presence. The Bible says in verse 36, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. Jesus didn't go anywhere in the middle of the storm. Jesus, hey, when that storm didn't come, Jesus wasn't bailing over the side of the ship saying, I'll see you guys later. Because you know what? We know that Jesus can walk on water.
Right.
And if He wanted, He could have just said, guys, see you later. And just started walking to shore. And left the disciples to drown on their own. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus was in the boat. Jesus was right in the middle of the storm with them. He didn't go anywhere. He didn't abandon them. And you know what Satan wants us to do? Satan wants... Every time a storm hits our life, Satan wants to come up to you and say, I thought you said Jesus was always going to be with you. Looks like He's left. Every financial difficulty you come across, is you're going to have Satan come up and say, I thought Jesus wouldn't let you go through anything like this. I thought you served Jesus. Why is He letting you go through this? Every health problem that you're going to have, why would Jesus let you suffer? Every dark storm you go through, Jesus or Satan's going to come up to you and say, I thought you said Jesus would be with you all the time. Sure doesn't look like it. Rest in His presence. Rest that we have an omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, and He's ever-present with you. He's not going to leave you in the middle of your storm. He's going to be right there with you. Don't listen to Satan's doubts. Don't listen to Satan's whispers in your ear saying He's nowhere in sight. Trust that the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, even in the middle of a storm. Even when the waves are beating into your ship, even when it seems like nobody else cares, Jesus Christ will never leave you nor forsake you. You can rest in His promise. You can rest in His presence. Number three, you can rest in His power. You can rest in His power. The Bible says in verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind. Listen, I don't want to minimize anybody's storm. I don't think anybody ought to. I know as a human nature, we tend to minimize things that other people are going through and maximize things that we're going through. I don't know if you've ever had, we call them a one-upper. You know, somebody that, you know, you tell them something rough you're going through and they're like, well, that might be bad, but this is what happened to me. They try to one-up everything. And I, listen, don't ever try to minimize somebody else's storm. God doesn't say they went through a little storm. Even God Almighty inspired them, inspired the writer here to call it a great storm. To God, was this a great storm? Not really. To Jesus Christ, was this a great storm? No. But the disciples, this was bad. This was bad. There's some things in life that we're going to go through that's bad. They're great. More than we can handle. But I'm thankful for this one thing here. It says that there was a great storm, but I'm thankful for verse 39 because it says that he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a, what does it say? Great calm. Listen, we're going to go through great storms, but I've got a God that can make a great storm into a great calm. The storm is going to be great, but think of how great the calm is going to be when Christ takes care of the problem. What a wonderful thing that is to know that we got a God that's bigger than our storm. We got a God bigger than the financial storm. We got a God bigger than the health storm. We got a God. We have a God that is greater than any storm we can ever confront. And in the middle of your storm, you can rant, you can rave, you can go out like a lunatic and run around and tell everybody about it and tell everybody how awful it just is. Or you can rest in His power that God has got a great calm on the other side of this great storm in your life. You can listen, it goes contrary to human nature, but you can go into the storm excited about it because you know that God's going to do something amazing through it. I think about that. Why? Because we have a God that has promised, we'll make it. We'll make it. We've got a God that said that He'll never leave us nor forsake us, and His presence, hey, listen, His presence will always be with us. We have a God that is bigger than our biggest storm. And He'll give you a great calm for your great storm because His power is bigger than anything we can go through. But then there's one more thing that I've got that we can rest in. This storm is something that affected the disciples' lives. No doubt about it. The Bible says that the disciples were in the boat. The boat was in the sea. The sea was in a great storm. And this affected directly the disciples' life. I believe that this became a fixed, this became a point of reference for the disciples for their entire lives after this. As you can think about all the storms that they went through for the rest of their life, and this moment here became a reference point and said, I might be going through a storm now, but I went through a storm once before that God brought me through. This might be bad now, the waves might be bad now, but I've been in bad waves before. I've been in troubled seas before, and the Lord Jesus Christ brought me through it. It became such a wonderful point of reference for the disciples. And we can go through storms in our life and know that God is working in your heart. I can go through a storm in my life and know that God is working in my heart. But I want you to think about this. Maybe it is God working in your life to speak to someone else. You ever think about that? Let me show you what I mean. We can rest in His promise. We can rest in His presence. We can rest in His power. Number four, we can rest in His plan. We can rest in His purpose. God has a reason for the storm. It seems like life is chaotic. I can't imagine that here in Ireland that life is no more calm and at peace than it is over in the United States. Life is chaotic everywhere. You don't get away from that. Life is full of storms everywhere. It's just part of human nature. We live in a fallen world, and so we're going to have life full of chaos. And it seems like nothing is connecting. It seems like everything is just isolated incidents, and this is a problem over here, and this has a problem over here, and this has a relationship over here. And it seems in life that nothing really connects. But let me tell you, God has a plan in all of it. Yes. And it's cool to be in a... And I love being a Christian because it's interesting to look back in life after 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years of living a Christian life and look back and say, wow, God, I see what you did there. I didn't know why I was going through this, but now looking back on it, I can see how you were working here. And I didn't know you were doing this when you were working in this person, and then you brought that together. Do you understand what the amazing thing about all of our lives in here? I know there's people here from all over the world. Aaron's told me a little bit about all the different people that come to Ireland for work and for different things like that, and it's amazing. Do you know that this is happening right now, this morning? We're all here in one room, 20 feet by 20 feet, something like that. We're all here under one room because God worked in the lives of people in the last 10, 15, 20 years all over the world and brought us into this one room. That's amazing. Only God can do something like that. Listen, if Aaron and I both tried and worked as hard as we could, we couldn't bring people from the four corners of the earth and bring them into one room. But God did.
Right.
Isn't that amazing? How God's done something like that. Brought us all together in this one place for something like that. It's amazing. And even though maybe your road between where you were and where you are now, there were some storms in it, God used those storms to bring you to this room. God used those things in your life to bring you to this point. Why? Because He has got a purpose and a plan behind those storms. And He might be using your storm to speak to someone else. Let's look at this. Mark chapter 4, we read verses 35 through 41. But I do not believe that the story stops right there and there's a whole new story in chapter 5. I don't believe that. Because the Bible says, and. You know what and is? And's a great word. You know what and is? It's a connecting word. Connects things. Actually, if you look all the way through the book of Mark, Mark uses and more than anybody else in Scripture. And you probably never noticed it before, but if you look, like it says and then he just, you know why? Mark saw how God is connecting one thing to the next thing. Think about the ands in your life where God has used one thing and then connected it by some other means. And so, and. In other words, what God is doing is God is connecting the storm in the disciples' life to what's happening in chapter 5. By the way, we read already, the Bible says in verse 35, let us pass over into the other side. What do you find in chapter 5 in verse 1? And they came over into the other side. Well, God kept His promise, didn't He? Imagine that. So God kept His promise. Jesus said, look, let's go to the other side. They had a great storm and then a great calm. And then what happened? They came to the other side, just like Jesus Christ said. The Bible says, and they came unto the other side. Chapter 5 and verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when He was come out of the ship, the Bible says immediately. In other words, time did not lapse. This is one event happening to the next event to the next event. Immediately. While all this was happening, the storm was calming down. The disciples were bringing the ship into the shore. And immediately, the Bible says, they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. He had a demonic spirit in him, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. What an amazing story. But this isn't separate from our story that we just had. We would think, well, this is just an entire different event. No, this is the same event. So let's paint the picture for you. The Bible says that in verse 5, and always night and day, he was in the mountains. We don't have a lot of mountains up here, but there is one big hill around here, right? And you can go to that one hill, and you can see everything around you. Aaron said you can see several different counties. You got counties. You can see several different counties from that one vantage point. It's amazing. The higher elevation you can get up to, the more you can see, right? This man was in the mountains. In other words, he had a good view of the things around him. Guess what was around him? The sea. Guess what he could see? A boat in the sea. Guess what also he could see? The storm. He could see from his vantage point, he could see the storm, he could see the sea, he could see the disciples, he could see the ship that was in the middle, he could see everything go down. The Bible says that he was a man with demons. In other words, he had something inside of him that man could not take care of because he tried. The Bible says that no man could bind him, no, not with chains. He had tried every physical thing that he could possibly do to fix his problem, and there was no physical solution because he had a spiritual problem going on inside. He had no hope. The Bible says, as in other places, that they ran him off. They didn't want him to be around them. He had no family. He had no friends. He had no job. He had essentially no purpose in life. Well, if you have no purpose in life, if you have no hope in life, what exactly is the point of living? There is none. The demons inside of him. You know what demons desire? You know what the devil's desire is for man? To destroy man. That's all Satan wants to do, is destroy man. You know why? We remind him of God. We were created in the image of God. Every time that Satan sees a man, he's reminded that God created that man in his image, and he wants nothing but to destroy that person. And I believe that there's enough in here. I believe that that man had come to the end of his rope. He had come to the end of his hope. He had come to the end of his purpose in life. He had come to the end of his solutions in life. And the Bible says, I know that this is exactly Satan's intentions, because it says when the demons came out of him, what happened? It went into a herd of swine, the Bible says, or pigs. And you know what those demons did with those pigs? The Bible says that the demons took those pigs and ran them down into a steep place in the sea. And I believe that that is the exact intention that the demons had with this man. And so I want you, in your mind's eye, I want to paint you a picture of what's going on here. The disciples are on the sea. They're in the middle of a storm. But at the same time, this man has a storm going on the inside. He doesn't know where to turn. He doesn't know what to do. And there's nobody to help him go through what he's going through. He's come to the point where all he can see is going down into a steep place, into the sea, and ending it all. I believe this man was on the verge of committing suicide. Just being done. I'm finished. I'm tired of trying. I'm tired of being hated. I'm tired of being an outcast, and I just want to be done with life. And so he comes to the cliffs. He comes to the steep place and is contemplating just being done with it all. Until from the mountains, until from that high vantage point, he looks out and he sees some men on a boat. He sees a storm coming up, and he sees these men ranting and raving, and he sees that they're going to lose their life. And I believe he's probably seen these storms before. He's probably seen men like that before, and he's looking out and saying, these men are just out fishing. These men are just out. They're family men. They're people that have friends. They're people that have family. They have people that love them, and they're getting ready to lose their life. Why should I keep mine? Then all of a sudden, he's looking out and he sees those men falling down at the feet of another man. And he sees that man come to the bow of the ship and put up his hands and say, "Peace, be still." And in the middle of that great storm, all of a sudden there's a great calm. And in his mind, he's saying, "What if? What if I could go speak to that man? What if what if he's got something for me as well as for them? And I believe he went through all of this because the Bible says that when they came to the other side, it says immediately there came a man out of the tombs and fell down at his feet. There was no introduction made. There was none needed. There was no trying to figure out who Jesus was. He knew who Jesus was. He was a man that could calm a storm. And he had a storm. The Bible says that he fell down at Jesus' feet and began to worship him. And he found the great calm that he so desperately needed. But listen here. He would have never seen that happen had the disciples' boat not been rocked. He would have never seen it happen. The disciples went through probably one of the most desperate times in their life, not just to teach them to have more faith, but so that someone else could see them go through the storm and know that their hope could be placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, there are people in your life that need you to go through the storm because they need someone in their life to show them that you can find rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. They need you to go through the storm. They need you to rest during your storm. They need to find somebody. They need to see a Christian in their life that doesn't rant and rave like everybody else. They need to see a Christian in their life that can rest in the middle of a storm because they need hope in their own life. It wasn't just the man. Look at what the Bible says. We're going to come back to this in verse 36. And it says, and there were also with him other little ships. There were a lot of people going through that storm. There were a lot of people watching the disciples. I believe there were a lot of people that came to faith and trust in Christ because of the storm that the disciples went through. Because of the other little ships, the disciples were able to show people that they can place their faith and trust in Christ. You know what we have a room full of in there? Other little ships. Other little ships. We have a room full of young kids in there. We have kids in here. You know what they need? They need to see when mom and dad and the people in the church, they need to see when they go through a storm that they place their faith and trust in Jesus. They need to see that, boy, I can trust in Jesus because of his promise. I can, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, aunt and uncle, I can trust Jesus because they really believe that Jesus is really with them in the middle of a storm. They really do believe that he has power over the storm. They really do believe that he has a purpose for this storm. Sometimes as adults, we go through storms in our life and we think that it's just about us. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes a storm might be in your life for your kids to see that their parents believe in Jesus. We think that we're going through a storm in your life, but sometimes the storm in your life could be because Jesus is wanting to speak to your coworkers or your family members. And he's using your storm in your life to reach them. We see people all the time ranting in the storm. That's not a real big deal. But when you see people resting in the storm, some people take notice of that. People take notice of somebody that has a calm demeanor about them. Look, I don't know what storm you're going through. I can tell you this. There's some things that are true in life. You're either in a storm, you've just went through a storm, or you're getting ready to go through a storm. No doubt about it. Let's remember, in the middle of our storm, God has a plan. We may be like Job and not know what it was. Do you know that Job never knew why he went through what he went through? He asked all these questions and had all these thoughts about his storm, and all his friends had these great deep philosophical thoughts about why he was going through a storm. And then he even went to God and demanded that God tell him. And you know what God tells him? Absolutely nothing outside of, you need to just trust in me. God never did tell him the reason. And we know the reason. You know what the reason is for Job's storm? So that we can know that we can trust God with our storms and that we don't need to know the answer to everything. Ultimately, that's the reason for Job's storm. We can trust God. We don't have to question God. We can trust God. The disciples went through a storm so that they can trust God, but so that folks around them could know that they could trust God as well. So I want us to keep this in mind, because I hate when I preach this message. I've got to preach this message several times, and I always hate thinking about having to preach this message, because I know if you hear a message on a storm, that God's preparing you for a storm. And it could be this week or next week or next month or in the next couple of years. It is very likely that some folks in this room are going to go through some type of storm. Why? Because as long as you're breathing and blinking, you're going to go through a storm. But it's your response to the storm that's going to make all the difference in your life. It's your response to the storm that's going to make all the difference in your kids' life. And it's your response in the storm that's going to make the difference in those in your life that see you go through that storm. It could make all the difference to them, how you respond to the storm. Just for a minute, I'd like us to bow our head and close our eyes, and I'd like for us to just think about what God's doing in each of our lives. And you may be going through a storm right now. I don't know, most of you I've just met this morning. You may be going through a storm now. You may be looking at the horizon and you could see a storm coming up. Right now, in the quiet of this moment, I just want to ask you, would you just pray that God would help you to have the right response to your storm? Just right now, just pray and say, God, I need you. I need to depend upon you in the middle of my storm. I need to trust you in the middle of my storm. Maybe we have a tendency, listen, we have a tendency to rant and rave in the midst of storm. But instead, let's rest. Let's rest in our storm. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. And it's an odd thing to say, but we thank you for the storms in our life, knowing that these are the uncomfortable places that you take us so that we can know that we can trust you, that we must trust you. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Lord, it is impossible to go through life without faith and please you. And so it's in faith that we move forward, in faith that we trust you, even in the midst of great storms. Because Lord, we know that you're going to bring us through. We know that you're never going to leave us. We know that you are greater, even though we're going through a great storm. We know, God, that you are greater. Lord, we know that we don't know the end result, but we can have faith that you have a plan. We trust you in all these things. Place our faith in you in these things. We're so thankful for working in our lives, taking an interest in us. We love you this morning. We thank you for loving us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray and ask these things. Amen.